This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
A book that everybody is talking about is The Big Miss, My Years Coaching Tiger Woods. The author of the book is Hank Haney, who was Tiger Woods' swing coach for 6 years, and he joins us on Sports Byline. Hank, there's been a lot of reaction to this book. What has been your reaction to their reaction about the book?
Well, you know, I knew that people would have a different opinion. At least there would be different opinions about me writing the book, and I was okay with that. I mean, you know, when I thought about writing this book, I just thought to myself, the bottom line is people always ask me about Tiger Woods. I had an incredible 6 years working with him. It was an unbelievable opportunity. But people ask me everywhere I go, want to know about Tiger Woods, what it was like to coach him, how he was as a golfer, as a champion. I'm asked about him all the time. When you're around greatness like I was, you know, you want to share the experience. And, you know, I knew that some people might think I shouldn't have written a book. And the bottom line for me, when I just thought it all out, I just said, you know what? These aren't just Tiger's memories. They're my memories, too. He doesn't have an exclusive on these memories. And I want to write a book about my experiences. We got off to a little rocky start when people started printing a bunch of one-sentence excerpts, and if you take one sentence out of context and do it a bunch of times and put them all on one page, you know, it'll look like, you know, not so good. But now that people have read the book, you know, the prevailing, you know, analysis, if you will, is that, you know, everybody really likes the book and they think it's fair and honest, and that's what I tried to do.
The thing that jumps to my mind, Hank, is the fact that Tiger, and I think most people would agree, is a pretty close person when it comes to his personal life and his personal feelings about things. How hard was it for you to portray the personal Tiger in this book?
Well, I mean, he is a very, you know, difficult person to know, and he is, you know, closed off to a great extent. But what I tried to do is just point out things in the book that had to do with him and his golf, not you know, necessarily him personally. Now, there were times when I had to include things that, you know, people wouldn't necessarily view as positive. But in the context that I talked about him, they talk about his greatness and the package that is Tiger Woods. You know, for instance, he's playing an individual sport. So, you would expect the greatest, in my mind, who's ever lived, who's playing an individual sport, he's probably going to be self-centered. And I thought this was an asset. I didn't point out things as a, you know, just to knock him down. I told my publisher I'm not going to write a book like that. But if the book was all positive things, it wouldn't have been an honest book.
What's the difference between the perception that Hank Haney had of Tiger Woods before he got hooked up with him and then after you got involved with him for 6 years? What was the difference in the two perceptions?
You know, just probably greater than I thought, more focused than I could you know, ever have imagined, and more complex than I could have ever imagined. I mean, I knew he was different. You're never going to be that great without being different, and there's no doubt about it. You know, he is.
You know, the name Tiger Woods is certainly a natural professional lure, Hank, but I'm just wondering, you must have looked at this and thought to yourself, you know, there's going to be some downsides to being involved with a guy like this with the reputation that he has, because if he doesn't perform, then everybody's going to turn probably not to him, but the guy that's coaching him. What type of due diligence did you do on the situation before you decided to sign on as his coach?
You know, that's a good point that you bring up. And you know, you probably just as a coach, you're just thinking, wow, I got an opportunity to work with the greatest player arguably in the history of the game, and this is going to be the greatest opportunity that could ever, you know, happen to me. And then you get in there and you realize, this is a little harder. That was the advice that I got from Butch Harmon, his former coach. Butch told me, you know, when I first got the job, and Butch came up to talk to me, and he said, Hank, he said, good luck. He said, this is a lot harder than it looks, and you're gonna, you know, it's a tough team to be on, and you know, and he was right, but it was an incredible opportunity.
As strong-willed and as strong-minded as Tiger is, did you think that it was going to be hard to try to tinker with anything as far as his strokes and get him to buy into a different philosophy?
Well, one of the scenes that I describe in my book is the first time I went to work with Tiger, and he met me. He was all ready to go. He was standing in his driveway, had his clubs on his cart, and the first thing he did after we said hello is he told me three things I taught that he didn't agree with. So I knew right then, I said, boy, this is going to be an interesting ride. I don't know how long it's going to last, but it's going to be an interesting ride for sure.
The story is that he read a magazine story in which you, then a coach, a college coach, predicted that Woods would lead the PGA Tour in earnings in his first full season, and you were right. And he used to kind of really jab you a little bit about being the amazing Kreskin in that act, didn't he?
Yeah, you know, Tiger, he says he doesn't read things, but he reads, at least when I was around, he read everything, and he remembers, too. He's got a very good memory, and he did. He always reminded me of that, and, I was right in that prediction, I think he liked that for sure.
The other thing, too, Hank, is, and I was surprised to find this out in the book, is that Tiger is a guy that's probably tight with the buck. He still has his first nickel because you were reportedly making $50,000 annually. You were expected to be on call like a doctor whenever Woods would be ready to practice or to play. And he was upset when his caddy, Steve Williams, asked for a raise. Was he really that tight? Because also it talked about when you guys went out to take out meals in Orlando, you were expected to pay for the meals.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I was expected to pay, but I did. I mean, he just sent me to get it, and so I paid because I was the only one there. But tightness and stinginess, I guess that just depends on the person. Obviously, $50,000, like you said, for 110 days a year on the road is probably not a lot. But having said that, that's a lot of money to a lot of people, and I certainly did great working for Tiger. I never thought of that as something that was really negative, to be honest with you. It never really entered my mind. I just was happy for the opportunity, and obviously it's helped me in my career immensely.
Hank, as you know, I've made this observation, and if I'm wrong about this, please correct me. I really feel the two watershed moments in Tiger's life was the death of his father and, of course, what happened with his marriage. Am I correct in that observation, and did that kind of shattered the world as far as his ability of thinking he was invincible?
Well, I mean, I certainly, think you couldn't be far off in that assessment.
And when you talk about the situation with the Navy SEALs, put it into your own words, because everybody has read things and heard things and what have you. But from your standpoint, tell us about that situation.
Well, Tiger was, had a huge interest in the military. His father was a Green Beret. It was something that he considered doing in 2007 and even beyond. I thought there's a chance that he's actually going to leave golf and join the military. He was very interested in the Navy SEALs. He went on training, missions or adventures or whatever you want to call it. There were Navy SEALs present, sometimes SEALs teams there, training with either, SEALs or ex-SEALs. He trained in parachute jumping, firearm shooting, hand-to-hand combat, self-defense. He went to the Navy facility, two of them, two facilities on the East Coast, at least two on the West Coast, where they have these kill houses, and that's where I said in the book that I had heard that one's from a wife of a Navy SEAL who was there when he got hurt, and then from a friend of mine who's a friend of Tiger's. Said that Tiger told him that's where he hurt his knee.
The other thing, too, is did he have a sense of arrogance about himself? Because you talk about the fact that he would do things like jump out of airplanes, parachuting, and also even ski, those two things which can be dangerous to one's health as an athlete.
Well, you can't be as great as Tiger Woods is without some sense of arrogance. So, I mean, I never viewed things like that as a negative. I viewed it as part of the overall package. And these are the things that make up Tiger Woods. I never thought for a second that, it'd be nice if he changed this, or it'd be nice if he was more like this, because I always thought to myself, if he was more like that, he might not be Tiger Woods.
Hank Haney is with us, the author of the book, and I hope you'll check it out. It's called The Big Miss. my years coaching Tiger Woods. Also, in a lengthy passage in the book, you detail why you think Tiger will have trouble reclaiming any previous level of dominance. And you say that he has been battling a case of the yips with his driver. What has caused that, do you think?
I didn't specifically say that, but yeah, he does battle his driver, I don't think he has the yips per se with his driver, but driver does give him troubles, that's for sure. But he's driving it much better this year. There's parts of his game that are a lot better this year. I think that it's a few things when you talk about his dominance. One, the last 3 years that I coached him, he won 45% of his tournaments. Jack Nicklaus, for instance, won, I think, around 12% for his career. So that level of dominance over that period of time, I don't think we'll see again. The competition's just so much stronger. Tiger's getting older. He's had 4 knee operations. But I certainly believe he's going to win a lot of golf tournaments still.
Another quote from your book that I was interested in, and you said, but those qualities, foremost among them, an extraordinary ability to focus and stay calm under stress, also included selfishness, obsessiveness, stubbornness, coldness, ruthlessness, pettiness, and cheapness. And when they were all at work in the competitive arena, they helped him win. And winning gave him permission to remain a flawed and, in some ways, immature person. Can you explain that a little bit further, put it into perspective?
Well, I mean, all of those things, really contribute to being a incredible competitor. I mean, he had a sense that he wanted to win. I think, I've never seen anybody that would wanted to win more than he wanted to win. Very self-centered, and he's playing individual sports, so he didn't have to, think about the team. He just thought about himself. And I think all of those things combined, make up the greatness that is Tiger Woods as an athlete. And they're all assets. I mean, I often, I thought Mark O'Meara was a student of mine for, 25 years and was player of the year in 1998, won 2 majors that year. He's close to or should be in the Hall of Fame. And I thought one difference with Mark that I often thought is, Mark's just such a nice guy. And, he didn't have, he was a champion and he was a competitor. But he didn't have the killer instinct that, you would see in a Tiger Woods.
I found the end of the book where you summarize your feelings about where Tiger might go from here, and it flashed into my mind something that John McEnroe said to me one time, that there was a point in his game when he used to think only about tennis, but when he got married, got a little bit more mature, other things, family and children came into his mind. And yet you said in the book, unlike the Tiger in his 20s and early 30s, was virtually indomitable. Today, Tiger has discovered that in real life, disaster lurks, plans don't come true, things can go wrong. That realization creates doubt, and in competitive golf, doubt is a killer. The big miss found its way into his life. If it's ingrained, primed to emerge at moments of crisis, his march toward golf history is over with. Is it over with in your mind from what you have seen of him at this point?
Well, that remains to be seen. We don't know how much doubt is in there. We'll find out, when he marches towards Jack Nicklaus's record. He has 4 majors to go to catch him. He has another one to pass him. Those will be the difficult ones to capture. In order to win, you have to contend. In order to contend, you have to play great. But once you get there, you have to be able to close. And, his closing rate has been spectacular. But will it remain that strong with all the pressure, with everything that he's been through, with everything that's changed? That's the big question. I really think that he has the time. I think he needs to get a major this year, to really put himself in line to catch Jack Nicklaus. If not, he'll have gone 4 years without a major, and I think it's going to be tough then.
Hank, I want to thank you very much for spending some time with us and talking about this book. I hope people will check it out. It's a very interesting read. I thank you, my friend. Take care. Come back again with us on Sports Byline.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Hank Haney, the name of the book again is The Big Miss, My Years Coaching Tiger Woods. And for 6 years, he was the swing coach for Tiger Woods. And he talks about the man as well as the professional golfer. We'll take a break here. Come back on the other side as we continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on Sports Byline.